I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. City Councillor Kristen Wong Tam represents Ward 13, Toronto Centre. She has been councillor since 2010, first for Ward 27, Toronto Centre, Rosedale, and for Ward 13, Toronto Centre, since 2018, when councillor seats were realigned. Today, she speaks about the year in review, including the ward's accomplishments, the continued challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic, and future goals for 2022.
It's Kristen Wong Tam, K-R-I-S-T-Y-N, last name W-O-N-G hyphen T-A-M, and I'm the city councillor representing Ward 13, Toronto Centre.
Councillor Tam outlined some of the key accomplishments in Toronto Centre in 2021. These include making the community more accessible through infrastructure projects and addressing affordable housing.
There's so many that I can pull out of a bucket and still have a bucket that's fairly full. Some of the big transformational pieces that I'm incredibly proud of is that we were able to advance Young Tomorrow, which is the environmental plan that is going to widen sidewalks and create a much more pedestrian-friendly Young Street. It's going to animate the street. It's going to just sort of build a street that's going to be resilient for the future. And I'm very pleased to see that. We'll also see some bike lanes installed there. We've had a pretty significant year of building housing. Lots of rapid housing that's being built right across the city to address, number one, the housing crisis, including significant new housing that's being added in Toronto Centre, whether it's the projects that are already underway with the City of Toronto or existing new projects with the Indigenous and faith communities. Thousands of new units are being built, and I'm very pleased to see that. We've also been able to increase some funding to the Rent Bank, which is a critical service in the downtown east. It allows residents to be able to draw upon the bank, literally, for their rent when they run short. And the program shifted, and we've actually started to provide grants. So therefore, it's not just a loan anymore. There may be, if you qualify, we're going to give you a grant, which means you don't have to pay it back. Locally, we've also been able to advance the work of Regent Park. Really big project, 69 acres of revitalization of government housing, purpose-built rental housing, both mixed income, meaning lower income tenants, as well as moderate and market units. That is underway, including the confirmation of building a brand new district library, as well as another multi-purpose community hub space. I can talk about St. Lawrence Market. There's been so many different things happening there, including finishing up the North Market building, which is where the new courthouse and the St. Lawrence Market antique facility will ultimately go. There is a heck of a lot going there. Closer to Ryerson, I can tell you that the Downtown East Action Plan has been rolling out with enhanced service supports for this particular body right on the campus. Whether it's dedicated neighborhood officers, these are the ones that get out of their cars, they walk the beat, they connect with the local residents and merchants. That was a big accomplishment because we now have dedicated neighborhood officers across every single one of our neighborhoods in Toronto Centre. It took a while for us to get there, but specifically they're community oriented. They're not the ones that are deployed from headquarters and 51 Division. They stay in the community for several years and they get to know the community. And so you'll be able to know them by their first names. And so I can speak a bit more. I mean, there's other initiatives. We've installed some new artwork, including a transformational illuminated fence. It sounds like, why is she talking about a fence? But this fence is a significant installation of art. It's multidimensional, it's very colorful. It's motion sensor, which means that if you're walking along Church Street, just north of Ryerson or X University, just north of Carleton on Church Street, The motion sensors will be triggered by you walking by it, and the fence will move with you. It's a really playful piece of decorative and functional artwork. And of course, it also acts as a fence. So that's just a snapshot. I can go on at great lengths, but I know we don't have the time. But those are some of the key highlights of what we've been working on in the at City Hall.
Great. And so what were the, I guess, greatest challenges or biggest issues that faced the Toronto Centre community this year?
I would say it's COVID. It's no different than anybody else. We've been struggling with COVID-19 for 21 months now. And we've been in the state of emergency, which means that business is not going as usual in the city. So that means that we have been seeing tenants struggle with social isolation as the lockdowns continue to sort of roll along. Health protocols that are, you know, cumbersome, require personal sacrifice. People are still making that in the pursuit of ensuring population health control. We're also seeing folks struggle to pay rent. It's a very expensive city to live in. Before the pandemic, it has become even more expensive to live in, especially since the wages have become stagnant, or perhaps people are losing hours at work.
Another challenge is the survival of small local businesses in the downtown core amid the pandemic. With foot traffic reduced and the majority of work and schooling now remote, Councillor Tam said her office is working with these businesses to help them stay afloat.
Small businesses have been struggling, not just in Toronto Centre, but right across the city, where we have a very unique economy. We are the home of the financial district of Toronto, the biggest financial capital in Canada, one of the largest stock exchanges in North America. And you'll recognize that the path, which is that sort of subterranean group of roadways that are connected to pedestrian pathways that are connected with the high-rise office buildings. They've been very empty because the office buildings are sitting at 15% occupancy. People are staying home and they're not coming out to work. That has a humongous impact on our main streets because that means that we aren't seeing the type of visitor as well as worker commuter traffic as we normally see. And our economy is very much linked to that success. So our small businesses have been struggling, whether they're in the path or perhaps on main streets such as Ryerson or Church or, you know, Queen and Yonge. It has been very, very difficult, especially for them to make ends meet, to pay their very expensive rents, to pay their staff wages. And on top of that, for restaurants and bars and cafes, they're seeing the rising cost of food. So everything has become harder, not necessarily easier. And unfortunately, we've got some uncertainty ahead of us now with the new Omicron virus or variant, I should say.
The emergence of the Omicron variant led local governments to reintroduce restrictions, limiting in-person interactions. Councillor Tam said in 2022, she's looking forward to herd immunity through increased vaccinations. She hopes the city can reopen again when it is safe to do so.
I think I'm probably looking forward to the same thing that every scientist in the world is looking forward to, and that's herd immunity. There's been a lot of talk about how do we keep ourselves safe. We have to be able to take a look at the pandemic with a lens through population health control. We know that young children have been struggling because of the online classroom environment, not always conducive for great learning, and they have been separated from their friends. So as we move forward into 2022, what I'm hoping for is that we can at some point look forward to sunnier and healthier days, put the pandemic behind us, start to rebuild the economy, get people back up and running with respect to their jobs as well as business, and essentially just get back to life, start to celebrate this great city with the festivals that we normally have. As you know, Pride Toronto has been sort of online for the past 2 years. 2 years we've had to, you know, sort of, you know, not be together as a community. We want the theaters full. We want the cinemas full. We want the live concerts going. We want culture and life to come back to the city. And I'm hoping that 2022 allows us to come back strong.
Mm-hmm. And so for you and your office, what are the primary goals for the year ahead?
We're still focused on two primary big issues that we've never taken our eyes off of for the entire pandemic, and that's housing and safety. For our local community, we want people to feel safe, feel comfortable when they come out to public spaces, be able to celebrate this great city, and not just sort of rush back indoors. We want them to stay and linger, shop, use the patios. That, of course, also reinvigorates the economy. So public safety is something that I'm very aware of, and I know that it's entirely linked to the social determinants of health. So the social determinants of safety are very similar to the social determinants of health, and that means that people have access to the things that they need so that they can live a healthy, vibrant life, and that includes housing. So the number one issue for me, on top of safety, has been housing. We want to keep people housed. We want to get people who are living in shelters, in living in unsafe congregate conditions, living on the streets, living in encampments. I want to get everybody into housing in 2022 so that we can bring back the hotels, so that we can allow the economy to reopen, so tourism can come back to our neighborhoods. Because unlike other neighborhoods in the city, we rely on tourism. Our businesses pay a premium to be downtown, and they expect tourists to come. And of course, over the past 21 months, we have not seen the type of tourist volumes nor the convention or big business meetings that we normally see. So it means that everything with our ecosystem, with our type of jobs and how we're connected to prosperity, our people in Toronto Centre have been struggling.
In terms of legislation on the table, I asked Councillor Wong Tam, In terms of legislation on the table, I asked Councillor Tam what is on the agenda for the end of the year, as well as future initiatives for the new year.
Well, interestingly, you mentioned that. So I would say that looking forward, and as well as grounding it into actions today, even as you and I speak, I'm just taking a break from City Council. And on the council agenda is Transform TO, which is the city's action plan on climate. And we are striving to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in this city to net zero by 2040. This plan was already accelerated by 10 years. Originally was sitting at 2050, but extreme climate change, extreme climate conditions have created tornadoes and floodings that have created havoc. Even in Canada, where we watch our Canadian brothers and sisters in BC's struggle with floods and wildfires. So that is a big issue. And when it comes to climate action, in the world, about 1.6 billion people will live in cities. And so we can actually do more by creating an urban climate action plan, which Toronto is creating, so that we can help reverse the trend of extreme climate conditions to try to halt the devastating effects of climate change. And that means overall, we need to change everything we do, how we move through the city, how we grow our food, where we get it from, who we provide supports to under extreme health and cold and heat conditions, how we build our infrastructure. Much of our infrastructure hasn't even been built as of yet. And I know that we're continuing to put billions of dollars into transit, into road construction, into new buildings, whether they be libraries or daycares or community centers. So it should not be business as usual. Everything we do has got to have a green climate positive lens over it. And that includes investing in that detailed action plan and making sure that those benefits can roll out to communities of great needs. And that includes communities that are racialized, low income, or just living with social and health disparities.
Further, she hopes the city can become more climate friendly, emphasizing the increase in cyclist routes and affordable transit.
I would say for the campus community, I don't know about you, but I've been really hoping that we can expand our cycling network. It's a big priority for myself as someone who lives and works downtown. We do have a car, of course, I've got a toddler. But I'm hoping to ditch that car. I'm hoping that I can become entirely able to rely on transit that is safe and accessible, connected and affordable. And I'm hoping that my 2.5-year-old son, as he gets a little older, will teach him how to ride a bike. And then eventually he'll be even able to ride his bike home. It's our small individual contributions to making sure that Toronto can achieve its climate positivity goals and to make sure we can get to a net zero greenhouse gas emissions as soon as possible.
That was Councillor Kristen Wong Tam of Ward 13 Toronto Centre. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.